CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. It's happening, it's live, it's the Gareth Cliff Show, CliffCentral.com. We're joined this morning by Mabale Moloi and by Sia Sangweni. Did you want to say something? Sorry.
No.
Oh, okay. And Sia Sangweni, good morning, Sia.
Good morning, how are you?
Also, Lucas Matebula. Good morning, Lucas. Good morning to you. If you've just woken up and you're ready to take on the day post-Valentine's Day, I got to hear some stories about Valentine's Day. I see a couple of pictures already being sent in by people of flowers and, you know, just romantic stuff generally, which is very nice to see.
And tell us if you're one of those people who got engaged yesterday.
Oh, because people like to do that.
Yes.
I saw our mutual friend, Mabs, Belinda. She got married 8 years ago on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, she did.
And we were at the wedding. It was in Belito or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't believe it's been 8 years. I don't feel like, she hasn't been married for 8 years, has she? It's insane.
Time just kind of moves along.
Am I that old?
The question we all ask ourselves.
I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Am I that old? I don't want to be old.
None of us do, Gareth.
Oh, I saw this disgusting old man at the gym yesterday. By the way, that was my Valentine's night was spent at the gym, which is the least sexy place in the world. And then home. What did I have for supper? I had pasta on my own. And then I had work to do, which is even more exciting.
Oh.
Huh? How's them apples?
Hubba.
That sound
hubba.
Good? So that was my whole, that was my day yesterday for Valentine's Day. And Sia, yours exciting? Was it fantastic?
Absolutely, because I had an afternoon nap when I came back from work.
Good. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I caught up on some emails and then read and went to bed again. So exciting.
No.
Just everything those romantic films talk about.
Hey, there are lots of people that's a perfect day for some people.
That's bliss.
Don't knock it,
I'm not complaining here. I'm just saying, you know.
Don't knock it.
We'll just have our own little moment here. When's Singles Day?
There is no such thing.
Okay.
It does not exist.
Never mind.
No such people do not care about single people because people who are not single are jealous of single people. You know, let me just sketch the scenario, and I'm really not going to be cynical here because, you know, I do think it's very – I think it's very sexy to have a Valentine or a sweetheart or someone you care about.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. And in some part of me, there must be a bit of envy. I'm not an envious person generally. I think, you know, Mubs, you could speak for me on that part. We've met some amazing people on the show. When they leave, I don't go, I wish I was them.
No, I mean, the only people that I've ever heard you say you wish you were are rock stars.
Yeah, but that's because they're amazingly talented and get to go on stage for like an hour or two, and then that's them done for the week.
And say, are you ready, New York?
Wouldn't that be cool? And you get a paycheck of like $2 million at the end of that. I heard that somebody, who was it? I heard there was like a private concert given by Sting. Someone told me the story not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
He charged them $1 million. It was like 20, 30 people in an apartment in New York.
How long was the performance? That's another factor.
An hour. But he was just like very casual and yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
See, I think, you know, being a live performer would be trippy. When you fill out a whole arena or stadium,
yeah.
I'd actually have a little moment of going, there are like 50,000 people here. Each one paid X amount. Do the multiplication and go, damn.
But it's in an intimate little crowd. I mean, imagine 20 to 30 people and some gazillionaires. He's like, Sting, you sing now for me. Now I pay you. And Sting is like, all right.
How much? Crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I mean, if you knew $1 million is coming your way, you'd sing, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Do whatever it takes. But no, I'm not an envious, jealous person. So when people are happy together, I'm happy for them.
Mm.
The difference is, though, I accept and appreciate the value of selfishness. And selfishness, you can't have that in a relationship. And you can't have that when you have children. Because you really, if you have kids and you don't put your kids first, you're a sociopath. So I don't buy this stuff when people say to me, oh, no, you know, we've got a balance. Because you either don't have a life or your kids don't have a life. You've got to dedicate your life to looking after and to being good to your kids. That's what you've got to do. If you're a good parent, that's what you do, right? So I just feel like if you're single, you've got all this room to do whatever you want. You have all this space to be able to, you know, be free. You do what you want with your night. And here we are, Sia and Mubs and I complaining about, well, I mean, Mubs hasn't complained, but Sia and I like half joking, saying, well, we spent Valentine's Day on our own.
Yeah.
But actually, what a privilege to be able to do what you want with the afternoon and evening. It's not like that for some people. What about people in unhappy relationships where they're miserable and they have to go for dinner with that girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife because it's expected, because there's pressure. And if they don't, if they do anything other than that, they'll be looked at as being evil. You know, like there's something wrong with you. That's got to suck too. So I just wonder. There are a couple of pictures here. Someone's put up a pic of two big bottles of Stolly vodka in a thing with a whole lot of cans around it. So clearly someone had a party last night. And then this one, it's not signed, but spent my Valentine's Day alone and sick in bed watching Star Trek with free food after exploiting the Uber Eats Valentine's Day promo. Isn't that nice? And then someone did put up a picture of a rose, which was kind of nice. So there are some people who did have a day of love yesterday. Some people who got drunk yesterday. Morning team, yesterday's podcasts were fantastic. I really, really enjoyed the poems. Keep up the good work. Peace and love. Peace and love. That's from JJ. Oh, and the person with the vodka was Jacques in Dubai. Well, we know they don't love that stuff in Dubai.
No, their country kind of stipulates that they can't love that stuff. But, I mean, you know, a lot of back deal operations happening, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so there's Valentine's Day done and dusted. Today we've got an incredible show for you. Let me tell you what's coming up so that you could prepare yourself through the course of this morning. We've got Aria Kelman coming in to tell us about the MZ17, which is the Millennial Zeitgeist 2017. It's the story of millennials from their own perspective, a digital thought series encapsulating millennial opinions on the topics of love, fame, passion, success, social media, and purpose. Hmm. So we've got a bunch of interesting young people who will be sharing their position. It's almost like a time capsule of 2017 for people who are in their 20s and early 30s.
That's a great way to look at it, actually.
Millennials. Like you, Sia. You're a millennial.
Yeah, I'll wear that badge proudly.
Yeah, it's a good badge. It's not the worst badge.
Please don't roll your eyes at me, Mabel.
I didn't.
Did she roll her eyes?
No. I absolutely did not.
I'm joking.
Yeah, then a little bit later on, you've probably heard him on 94.7. His name is Lucky Duplessis. Lucky's coming in to join us. What a story this guy has. I was fascinated. I met with him for the first time. About 2 weeks ago, he came in here to see me about something. And, I mean, I had never listened to his show. I'm going to be honest. I don't listen to radio, so I don't know what was going on. And I was very pleased to meet this guy. What a smart dude. Mm-hmm. What an interesting guy. What a talent. So I thought, you know what? We've got to all meet him. If I didn't know him, then the chances are that a lot of people who listen to us wouldn't have known him. So I thought, bring him in. Let's get him here and chat to him. All right, so those are the definite must-dos this morning. We're going to get to those later on. I flew back from Cape Town yesterday, and it was a very pleasant flight. I had no problems, Mubs. You know there's always a problem. What I did is I booked a seat where I could see someone had booked the seat one away from me. So the likelihood of someone actually wanting the seat between us, if the plane wasn't full, was...
Very low. Well, not 0.0, which is what I was going to say, but yes, very low.
Yeah. And guess what? No one sat there. It was fantastic.
I feel like this is now a new, this is going to be a new strategy.
It's my strategy. It's exactly what I'm going to do.
0.0
chance of me ending up next to someone I don't know. But it was very pleasant. I slept a little bit, which was good because I was tired, and then I did a whole bunch of work, which was awesome. So actually a productive day. Even managed to get in all the stuff that I needed to do. And this week is crazy. Oh, my God, it's crazy. With meetings and things. I got people I got to see. I'm going to this presentation today on the hate speech bill.
Oh.
You know that horrible bill that they're trying to table, which is probably unconstitutional. It goes against free speech. It certainly isn't a bill to protect anyone. It's a bill to give the state more rights, to take away rights from you and I. But I'll find out more, and I'll report back on that tomorrow. We've got a staff meeting tonight, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, we got all we got all our contributors here tonight. It's a big meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
It looks so
funny.
Sorry, I'm just going to go into my email now to see when exactly I skipped past this email, or maybe I deleted it immediately.
You know, Mabali's email is like a big, dark chasm. You throw things down there, and sometimes they disappear without even making a sound.
They never come back.
Sometimes they rattle against the edges of this chasm as they drop to the bottom.
It's a hit or a miss.
Yeah. But very seldom does she actually get it. I wonder if there wasn't like an urgent email from like a family member. Dear Mabali, help me, I'm in jail. And it's sitting there March 24th.
Later.
March 2014. Oh, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. You can WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. Let us know what you're up to. Yeah, a lot of people very happy about our poems yesterday, our celebrity love crushes. And by the way, the message that came in earlier from someone who spent their whole day exploiting Uber Eats and watching Star Trek is Ashley. Let me read you an email that this came through from Taryn, who's been listening to us for years. Taryn said, I really enjoyed your interview with Joey Evans on Monday. His positive attitude and general outlook were so encouraging. It's true that we never know what life has in store for us. Last year, I had several operations, and while I was in hospital, I picked up that MDR-TB. You know that the drug-resistant tuberculosis? It's like a superbug. Hectic. I received the diagnosis 4 days before Christmas. Overnight, my life changed. I went from feeling ill to feeling deadly, feeling I was putting my family and friends at risk, being isolated from everyone. So I started 8 different antibiotics, 33 tablets and 1 injection a day, every day. And I've got to take those for the next 2 years.
Wow.
Because there are no new TB drugs, the side effects are awful. The usual nausea, vomiting, fatigue, gout, fevers, tingling, numbness, hearing loss. Doesn't that sound horrible? I'm now in a wheelchair. And because I have TB in my joints as well, I'm unable to use my arms above the elbows. My wrists are very weak. Holding a phone is difficult. So the impact on my family is very difficult too. I can't work, so we're down to 1 salary. I can't cook. I can't drive. I can't dress myself. It's incredibly frustrating, and it's not how I pictured my life at 40. But the thing I can control is my attitude and how that impacts the people around me. This is what I do. I can try and make it as easy as possible for my husband and kids. He's working 10 hours a day to make extra money. It's not a case of suppressing how I feel about all of this. I've had nights of fevers where I've cried and wondered what it'll be for the next 2 years. But it's a conscious decision not to give in or be victimized by the circumstance. My grandfather was saying it wasn't fair and why me? And all I could think of is why not me? So while I'm in bed and I'm too tired to be an actively participating member of society, I'm catching up on podcasts and reading and getting myself some killer cheekbones. My husband is a goldsmith. How's that, huh? My husband's a goldsmith, and he has a brilliant sense of humor. He said he was going to make me a heart for Valentine's Day, but he thought I needed new lungs, so he made me a charm with lungs.
Aww.
Thanks for keeping me entertained for 3 hours a day, Taryn. Isn't that nice?
Man.
I mean, what a horrible story, but isn't it great that her attitude is healthy and happy? That's what I love. I keep saying we have special people who listen to us. And I don't mean special people. I mean, like, people with great attitudes.
Yeah, you know, I think as people, when you are pushed to those kinds of limits, your attitude is probably the one thing that will either save you or allow you to completely be taken over by whatever's plaguing you.
Oh, totally. And I'm so impressed always when I hear these stories because I don't know that I'd be that strong, Taryn. I think in my strong moments, I think, yeah, I could handle that. You know? And then I'm sure I probably wouldn't. I'm sure I'd break down and be screwed up and just want to give up. Mm. Ilka says, is Fabio Cliff taking the Charlize looker? Oh, that came in from yesterday. Sorry, I haven't refreshed this thing. That's on WeChat this morning. You can WeChat us, you can WhatsApp us, you can tweet us. It all comes through onto the screen in front of us. And today we can take your Skype calls as well. Cliff Central, one word. You know, give Lucas things to do. He's sitting there, he's looking at me.
By the way, we haven't mentioned why Ben isn't here.
Yeah, he says he's still got the coughs. But I mean, for God's sake, what's he going to do? Sit at home like he did last week and nothing's going to get better? I don't know what to tell him.
No, I think part of the problem is the air conditioning in the building. I think that's part of the reason why it slows down our recovery well.
I mean, I've turned it off.
Yeah, it's turned off now, but, you know, eventually at some point it will go back on again.
Oh.
And then off, and then on, and then off, and then on.
You know, may I just give my little immune system a pat on the back here for a second?
Go on.
This is like, what, the third day you guys have been coughing and spluttering about?
Well, I've been sick for exactly a week.
My little baby's still holding up, folks.
Well done. No, well done to, you know what? I mean, Mubs, nobody wants to get sick. Nobody sits and goes, ooh, I'd really like to get sick today.
Oh, but Mabale wants me to get sick. Yesterday, she chased me around the office, literally, like just coughing behind me, wanting to
horrible.
Touch me. Yeah, that's
horrible. What a nasty thing to do.
Oh, it's just another day dealing with Mabale, though. Just another
day. Such a nasty thing to do. Huh? What's up with you?
You know, I'm pretty sure... And all the doctors can correct me here. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you're only contagious for the first few days of being sick. And then after a certain point, you are no longer contagious.
Still not buying it.
So I don't think that I could give you anything at this point, but I stand to be corrected.
All right, we've got a little bit of time before we get to the news. So listen to this quickly. Sia sent this to me. Apparently there's this Australian, is it a soap opera?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a New Zealand, sorry,
yes,
New Zealand
from
soap
New
opera.
Zealand. And I think they're trying to spice things up because who really watches soap operas these days?
No, it's awful.
So they're trying to get into the 21st century as well. And so this is now the quintessential 21st century conflict between a father and son.
All right, so let me skip to the action here. So there's this dude, so this pale white New Zealand dude, he walks in with his girlfriend who looks like she might be a little bit Asian. So you're thinking, oh, well, this is exciting, you know, and they're talking to each other. And then the dad says, I want you to leave to the girlfriend and the drama.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm like, okay. And he's like, oh, dad, that was so rude. And he goes, you want to know what's rude? And then listen to what happens.
Awesome house. Where's your room?
Upstairs. Maybe this is a mistake.
You said your dad's at golf.
He's not at golf.
That's the dad.
Hey, Dad, this is Lily.
Hi.
Go home, please, Lily.
Sure.
What? Why? Where's Finn? Swimming. Goodbye, Lily.
Bye.
No.
There's always tomorrow.
Wow, I mean, what a nice girlfriend. She's putting up with the dad being a douchebag, right?
Well,
ain't that the truth?
She kind of doesn't have a choice.
No, of
really.
Course. But I mean, she's like, oh, there's always tomorrow.
Yeah.
What a sweetheart. And I'm glad he's with her.
Okay, that was rude. Rude. I'll show you rude. The tablet is still synced to your phone. Please tell me that is not your penis.
And that's the end of the show. Talk about leaving it on a massive cliffhanger, right? Please tell me that is not your penis. And also in that accent, it's just bad. Yeah, so obviously the kid, and I wonder how many times this has happened to people who are at school or varsity now, and they, you know, they sync to the family tablet or laptop or whatever it is, and You know, maybe you copied all the data across from your old phone, but you give your new phone to someone.
Oh, my goodness.
In the family, and then there's like nude pictures of you.
So awkward. But I'm not just thinking about the old lady who really does enjoy her afternoon soaps. And she's just rocking back on her chair.
Yeah, that, I didn't
and
think
this
about
is now
that.
The cliffhanger she needs to deal with.
Yeah.
When the most dramatic thing beforehand was like, what, a character coming back to life after being dead for 3 years? Now she's dealing with dick pics. Ah, oh, the 21st century.
Oh, that's love great. It. Yeah. I think that's such a 21st century story, though. Okay, Gareth, I spent my evening pretty much the same way you did. I was, however, privileged enough to witness this beautiful Valentine's surprise at the office. It was truly heartwarming. Okay, so I can't play your clip off of here, so I'm going to have to get it on. Let's see if we could transfer that. I'll see if I can play it for you. But there's a clip of someone doing a Valentine's Day surprise, which is nice. You know, like when the strippogram or the gorillagram or the flower guy arrives.
Yes, okay.
We all know how it goes.
Strippers, not necessarily romantic, I'd say.
I think this is from Ben. You mean...
Ben?
Yeah, I think it's Ben. You moan when I'm at work coughing. You moan when I'm not at work coughing.
Oh. Yeah,
I think that's
sounds,
Ben, yep. Ben, right?
That sounds like Ben. Pretty spot on there,
douchebag. And here, this is from Carl in Jersey. He says, Ben is a soft cock. He's sick too often. He needs a tablespoon of cement to harden the fuck up.
Wow.
Carl, you're going to be a really considerate parent.
Yeah, I was about to
Can
say,
you imagine?
Please, I hope he's not a parent.
All right. And then on the WeChat this morning, because everything's buzzing, everything's alive, Ashley says, I'm so confused. Does the dad want it to rather be someone else's penis on his son's phone?
Well, what difference would that make?
Tell me this is not your penis. Well, yeah, okay, Dad, it's another guy's.
Oh, that also then brings a whole new scandal.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Get over it.
You're very forgiving, Mubs. You know?
Me?
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
Well, I mean, if you were, I know it's a stretch, but if you were a mum and you found your son's penis on the phone, on the tablet that was synced to yours, I mean, do you really want to see that? What are you going to say?
No, I don't.
Pretend you didn't find it.
I wouldn't want to see that, but I mean, you've seen it and you know what teenagers do.
Sure.
Why, like... What's your problem?
Well, I think it's just the thing
you probably did it as well once upon a time. You know, like, get over yourself.
Yeah, they just didn't have cameras in those days. Where this guy's dad was a kid, there were no such things as digital photographs. So if he wanted to take a dick pic, he'd have to take it with a camera and have the film developed.
Imagine.
I reckon people used to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, go to the photo lab in that red room.
Or they'd buy an Instamatic camera.
Like a Polaroid.
Yeah, I suppose. They must have done it, right? I mean, people have been taking pictures of each other naked since time immemorial. You can go and see cave paintings and everybody's naked.
Are you saying they're like sex tapes on actual film reels somewhere?
I'll bet you there are. Yes.
We've always been nasty.
The Pamela Anderson sex tape was filmed on a video camera. Not on a digital camera.
But VHS, okay, sort of get. An actual film reel with the two reels in there.
Oh, possibly. You don't know. People in the 1920s bouncing around.
I really wouldn't put it past us. Hey.
Bouncing around on like 8mm film. Can you imagine? Getting all excited.
You know, but with this like over... Parents now in the 21st century have to really be smart and cunning with the way they actually parent and look after their kids. Because a friend of mine just let me know recently that their father decided that the entire family needs to be on one Uber account. And that's how he actually monitors who goes and who leaves and where you went and what time you actually left. So really, from like the comfort of his bed at like midnight, he can figure out exactly where his kids are and where they live.
I don't know. I don't know if you want to know that.
It was so, so intense.
You
want to
know
weird.
That? I mean, do people need to know that stuff?
Those are control freaks.
Well, you're trying to be protective.
No, you're being controlling. You are being controlling.
You're totally a control freak if you do that, right?
Yeah. But I suppose it's a parent's prerogative to be controlling, up until their child reaches a certain age.
But of course, kids always find a loophole, because this friend of mine just created his own Uber account. So, on the surface things, he's the family account.
I was talking to an Uber guy who took me to the airport yesterday in Cape Town, and he was saying that they do a fair amount of cash business.
Mm.
So you can Uber with cash if you need to.
See?
I mean, I put in the credit card details, so I don't even think about it. But I've got a business one and I've got a personal one.
Mm-hmm.
So the business one is when I'm traveling on business, and I can count those as, you know, tax deductible, I suppose. And the ones that are personal, I have to fund myself. Although I always forget to switch on the business one and end up paying everything myself anyway. All right, let's get into some news. It's time to find out what's happening in the world with Mabane Moloi. And they said you wouldn't find the perfect vegan pizza. They said you'd just have to eat a boring, dry pizza bread again. But here you are, living the dream, enjoying your favorite pizza with vegan cheese at Colcacchio Pizzeria. Colcacchio Pizzeria, changing the way you think about pizza. I, by mistake, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, ordered the vegan pizza. And I was not unhappy.
Mm.
I actually thought it was really nice. And, you know, I don't have much time for vegans.
Do they still – what base do they use? Because, you know, they need to avoid eggs and butter, which
they
is –
They can do bases with vegetable stuff.
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower. But I wasn't sure. Cauliflower base. They can do it without gluten. They can do all kinds of interesting things. In fact, when you order, you have to be careful to – you know, select all that stuff if that's what you're looking for. Because it's no longer just, I'll just have a pizza. You got to say, I want this kind of base. I want this. I don't want that. Yeah, it's incredible. You can bespoke make every part of your pizza. It's incredible. Only at Colcacchio Pizzeria. Go and check them out. They're all over the country and they are fantastic. Let's get into some news. Here is Mabane Moloi with the latest. Mubs, what do you got for us today?
Well, according to our health minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, who was speaking to reporters in Pretoria yesterday, there are still 19 victims that have not been claimed by their parents from that horrible incident where 94 psychiatric patients died from starvation and dehydration after being transported to those 27 NGOs that were actually not qualified to treat patients.
They haven't picked up their bodies?
Well, 19 victims still have not been claimed by their relatives. Police began forensic investigations and efforts to identify the unclaimed bodies. The health minister was briefing reporters in Pretoria yesterday on the progress that's been made in implementing the health ombudsman, his recommendations. That's Professor Malegapuru Makgoba. This is following his investigation into why the 94 mentally ill patients died. So, yeah. Jeez.
I mean, 19 of them haven't even been... There's been no communication from the family?
There has been nothing from the families.
Well, I mean, then those families... You know, I was laying it on thick on government. But this is even worse. Because if you turn your back on your family...
Which some people do.
Clearly. And just because they're mentally ill...
Yeah.
And they're psychiatric patients. You want nothing to do with them. You couldn't even be bothered to have them buried. We must stop talking about humanity like it's a given that people care about their relatives, or like people are human, because there are some people who are just monsters. They're monsters. We think, you know, Adani Mhlangu and the Gauteng Health Department. And Aaron Motsoaledi and whoever else you want to blame are terrible people because these 94 psychiatric patients were treated so badly and eventually were killed. They were murdered. And they are bad. They're bad. But it is just as awful that there are 19 of these dead people whose families won't even claim them.
I mean, you have to then ask the question, could it be possible that some of the families and relatives don't even know that
possibly
their loved one died because they decided a while ago that, you know, they're washing their hands of them?
Possibly. Oh, but it's still, isn't it awful?
Yeah, it's completely awful. And you hear about these stories and you hear about, you know, how some people are just mistreated by their family members, and it's heartbreaking.
Well,
and then what do you do with those 19, you know, if they are never claimed?
That makes me very sad. Because, you know, we'll talk about human rights and we'll talk about service delivery and we'll talk about all the stuff that we can do on a macro level. And we'll criticize certain people in government because they didn't do as good a job as they might have. But if the families don't even care to pick up the dead body of a relative, then I don't know that we're in any position as citizens or just as humans to be pointing fingers at anyone else. That's the saddest thing I've heard. God, can you imagine how many years those people were ignored while they were alive, let alone when they were dying, starvation, dehydration?
I mean, you hear about how people start being ignored by their family members as soon as they dropped off in an old age home. You know, sometimes that happens in families. You take your mother or your father in, and then 8 months later, you have not visited once, and you've completely forgotten about them.
And those mothers who just throw away their babies.
Yeah.
We are not civilized people if we have people like this among us. Your civilization's only as good as the weakest link, right? You're only able to call yourself society if the people right at the bottom are able to live in a civilized way. And I'm not talking about provision of water and electricity and DSTV. I'm talking about treating each other with respect. If you can't even treat your own relatives with respect, how much respect do you think you have for those people? Do you think those people care about rules, laws, doing the right thing? Absolutely not. They don't even care about their relatives.
You know how we've become so used to hearing stories about tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, you know, from various parts of the world. You know, your Hurricane Katrina's, your Hurricane Andrew's.
Yes.
Well, apparently we've got a tropical storm headed our way. Tropical Storm Dineo. Yes, she's already been named. Now expected to escalate to an intense cyclone with thrashing winds. The South African Weather Service issued an update on the storm's development, which seems like it began in Mozambique but is headed our way. Apparently, parts of Mpumalanga, Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal are most likely to be caught in Dineo's grip, with heavy rains and flooding later this week. In fact, they're predicting that the heavy rains will start Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Wow. And it will
basically be a case of heavy, heavy, heavy rains and flooding in, you know, parts of the country. Dineo has grown from a tropical disturbance on Monday, that's what it was, to a moderate tropical storm. The latest update indicates that it may grow even stronger into a cyclone.
Sure, that's kind of scary.
That is kind of scary.
See, but I don't like that they give these hurricanes and tornadoes these nice, sweet names. Like, I'm just thinking,
Dineo, such a nice name.
I know, I just want to hug Dineo, want to have, you know, coffee with Dineo. Meanwhile, I should be running away from Dineo for my life.
Yeah.
The storm's name was assigned according to a predefined alphabetical list for the tropical storm season in the Southwest Indian Ocean. She will hit Mozambique's coastline before reaching South Africa, where heavy rain, flooding, and possibly wind damage may be expected. So, yeah. Pay attention, but, you know, also let's not get alarmed. But they are saying that it's going to grow into a cyclone.
Well, then I'm alarmed. Forgive me. I don't know what else I'm meant to do. I mean, like, don't be alarmed, but it's a cyclone.
Oh, yeah. I just don't want us to go into panic mode and then, you know, we work ourselves up over something that, you know, turns out that we can handle. But yes, Tropical Dineo, she's going to start terrorizing parts of South Africa late Wednesday, early Thursday.
Get ready, bitches. It's coming.
Yeah.
Someone knocks on your door and goes, "Hi, it's Dineo. Run!"
Yeah.
No. Just, get out.
No one is home.
What? Who? Dineo.
Wrong address.
Who?
Oh, Dineo. Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Is Ben on the line for sport? Look at that. He may be coughing up a storm at home. He may be coughing up his own little Dineo at home. But here he is with the sport. It's time for Ben to give us the latest. Ben?
Well, that sounds really good.
All right. So, Ben, is this really just your way of saying, well, Gareth did the show on Skype yesterday, so I'm going to do it today?
No, this is me just being considerate, Gareth, because you were having such a moan about, oh, gosh, we've got to sort out this coughing. So I woke up at about 4 o'clock this morning. I'm still coughing. I'm still feeling a bit feverish. So I thought, well, let's do the Skype. And I think everything will be okay.
Let me be clear. I actually prefer the fact that you didn't come in and you're not passing that around to everyone else.
Okay, so what's the problem?
No, there's no problem. You're on the line now with the sport, so let's do the sport.
Yeah, Gareth, it was the glorious
whiny little bitch.
I'm not the one whining. I'm here ready to do sport. You're the one bringing stuff.
All right, go ahead.
So, you know, we often talk about awards being a sham and a whole bunch of shit, really. It's like a lot is made of something, but not really that important.
Yes.
So last night the glorious awards took place. And look, these are still pretty good because it's like the Oscars of sport, right? It's all big deals. So Michael Phelps won Comeback of the Year. Simone Biles, she won Sportswoman of the Year. Usain Bolt won Sportsman of the Year. Chicago Cubs won Team of the Year. I mean, they won that World Series first time in like since, I don't know, black and white times. And it was just like there were some really big names and everyone goes to this thing. But then there was the Breakthrough of the Year Award, which was probably the biggest sham I've seen in sport for quite some time.
Why? Who won it and why is it a sham?
Okay, first of all, Breakthrough of the Year, right? In your mind, what is a breakthrough?
It's
something that defines a career, right?
Yeah. Takes the next. Or someone who does something completely unexpected and everybody's delighted by it.
Yeah, exactly. So that would apply to Iceland, who were the quarterfinalists in the European Championship, despite having a population of about 300. That would be Elmaz Ayana, who thrashed the world record for the 10,000 meters in the Olympics. Or, you know, someone like Leicester, who went from being almost relegated to then winning, and now almost being relegated again, which just shows a breakthrough here. That and also someone like Wade Van Niekerk, he won the World Championship, first Olympics, smashed the record there. But the winner of the Breakthrough of the Year award goes to Nico Mercedes Rosberg.
How is Nico Rosberg a breakthrough?
Okay, firstly, what makes it even more dodgy is he's already retired, okay? So he's been racing for about 10 years in Formula One, and he finally gets a win because finally someone gives him an amazing car. So that's not a breakthrough, that's just good luck. And you know, the only reason that he's retired is because he realizes that Hamilton's car won't be as shit this time around. So he knows this is the top of his game.
Yeah, he quit while he was ahead, and we all knew what his game plan was.
Yeah, exactly. It's just such a shame because I'm not just saying it's because I wanted Wade Van Niekerk to win, or I think that he's deserving. The other contestants obviously were hugely deserving. But it's almost like people have to like think, oh, Formula One, so much glamour, so much an amazing sport. It's bollocks. It was a really good car. I mean, they should have had a car on the stage there last night. Ugh. Very, very upsetting.
You sound annoyed.
I do, actually. Yeah, I saw this last night. I thought, who the hell? I mean, does Steve Harvey read the name out incorrectly? Like, what's going on here? It's genuinely quite a credible an awards evening. And obviously, they get the biggest names in sport there. So
I saw Johan Rupert was there.
Well, it's kind of his thing, yeah. You know, because he's apart from being like a business legend, he's also a massive fanboy. I mean, that guy loves sports stars more than anyone in the whole world.
That's true.
So in football last night, some massive, massive surprises in the Champions League. PSG absolutely hammered Barcelona 4-0. Didn't see that one coming. And then Benfica also beat Dortmund. Dortmund were the highest point score, or the highest qualifiers from the group stage. So for two very interesting return legs. But you can't see any of these really big teams losing by more than four again. So that's very interesting. And then tonight we'll see Bayern Munich versus Arsenal, quarter to 10 SA time, and then Real Madrid versus Napoli, also quarter to 10. And then last night in the the PSL here in South Africa, Chippa held Sundowns to a 1-1 draw. Now, Pirates, there's still no word on the punishment. You know why?
No, because there won't be any.
Yes, exactly. Well, they'll take on Vitz tonight, where they'll probably receive more punishment because Vitz were a good side. That's 7:30. And the Free State Stars will take on Supersport United at the same time. In other football news, Jesus has broken his foot and will be out for at least until Easter.
Oh, my God.
Which is a massive shock for Man City because they're just getting some momentum up. You know, people are talking about this amazing strike force. And obviously, Jesus was pivotal to it. Sorry, small cough. That's your football. And then, you know, there's been so much hype around this whole McGregor versus Mayweather thing.
Yeah, Conor McGregor. Mm-hmm.
So apparently they are just moments away now from signing the big $1 billion deal. So there's a lot of hype around that. Just a lot of stories. And then you actually
billion dollar deal.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like these guys will only get into the ring. Firstly, it's going to be a boxing fight, right? So it's not going to be octagon. So you know that these guys are only going to sign it if the money is right. So they're going to bring their sort of combined hype, and they believe they can get all the money. So $1 billion is what's going to be on the table. How they divvy that up, we're not too sure. But then you got to look at the facts behind a story like this, right? These guys want you to buy into the hype because it's only going to just, you know, basically their needs and their demands for attention.
Is this Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah. Wow. So you look at it from Mayweather's side. He's got nothing to do right now other than just count his money. He still doesn't realize what a credit card is. So McGregor has got all the hype he needs to drum up here. But firstly, look at his UFC contract. He is contracted to fight for UFC, nothing else. So he can't just, you know, rustle this thing up. It's against his contract. But then secondly, what they're saying is that he's trying to put more pressure on the UFC to give him a bigger contract. And that is why he's going for this, because if he can get all this hype around going for a boxing match, then the UFC will feel that they might lose him. So he's just leveraging everything he can possibly leverage right now, which does mean that this fight, I don't think it will happen. I really don't. I think we'll get to the stage where they'll say, oh, third party full pulled out, blah, blah, blah. But contractually, it doesn't seem like it's possible that it could happen.
Well, it would, if the money's right, he might just do it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, you only get a payday like this once in your life.
Sure, but then again, the whole issue is he allowed to? Can the fight go ahead? Because when contracts are in place, it becomes a very messy business if you fall in foul of them.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the UFC has got decent lawyers.
Well, let's see what happens.
And finally, in golf, Tiger Woods has pulled out of a press conference this time due to back spasms. I mean, he's literally, for a guy that never, you know, he's just pulling out of everything. It just gets worse and worse. He was meant to play in that Genesis Open this weekend at the Riviera Country Club, but no. It's one of those things, when will he come back?
Would you have, if you could have advised Tiger a couple of years ago after he really disappeared from the scene, if you could have advised him then when you've said, stay away, don't come back, you'll tarnish your legendary reputation?
Yeah, I think the greatest advice came to him via Donald Trump. Donald Trump, in the height of all his all those sort of sex scandals coming out, he just said, you know what, Tiger Woods is a great golfer, he's a tremendous athlete, and he's an even better playboy. He must just focus on that. Don't try to come back and be this wholesome sporting figure again and, you know, play to sponsors and that kind of stuff. Play golf when you want to, and obviously just be a playboy. If he had done that, I think he would be a golfer again. But because he worked so hard on this whole family image thing and getting into shape and blah, 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 and pandering to sponsors' needs, I think that's what's really, really screwed him at the end.
Yeah, he's got to live up to that.
Sometimes you just got to be who you are, hey, Gareth, and value that whole selfishness, as you said.
Yeah, there we go. All right, Ben, listen, get better.
Well, I really hope tomorrow is the day. It's last day of antibiotics today, and yeah, everything should be fine and dandy.
All right, very good. Ben Karpinski with the... Are you all right, Ben? Hello. Ben? I think we've lost.
Oh, shame. Well, I mean,
signing off with a cough. Oh, excuse.
Here, as I'm saying, Ben, hope you get better.
So bad.
It's terrible.
Okay.
All righty, let's get to Anthea. Let's see what's going on in your money today. Good morning, Anthea. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. I'm just okay today.
Just okay?
Yeah. Our market didn't do so well yesterday. I mean, most of the talk was about the Rand, though.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. We started the day trading at 13.34 to the US dollar. I told you that yesterday morning.
That's amazing. Where are we now?
13.04.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy? And 14.14 against the euro yesterday. We broke straight through 14. We're currently trading 13.80 against the euro. And against the pound from 16.70 to 16.27 at the moment. I think in general yesterday it was about emerging market currencies. They were much stronger. But on top of that, the dollar came under quite a bit of pressure after Trump's security advisor resigned. What's his name? Michael Flynn.
Yeah, there was a whole scandal about that.
Yeah, indeed. So I think it's more exogenous factors than locally driven strong rand strength. And as I promised yesterday, I said I'd look up the volatility of the rand. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can slice and dice this data any way you want it to suit your argument. But just for ease of explanation, I used 30-day volatility, which measures the rand movement over a 30-day period, and it rolls every day, kind of back off. And all you're doing really is measuring the standard deviation or the quantum of movement from one price point to another. So just as I've quoted from 1334 to 1304. The 30-day volatility of the rand yesterday was 13.5%. Last year this time, it was 22%. And in December 2015, it was 29%. So as you can imagine, that kind of time has a smoothing effect. So the longer you measure it, the less extreme it appears. But the shorter the measurement period, the more extreme. And in December of 2015, the 10-day volatility spiked to 45%.
Well, that was Nenegate.
That's right. That's exactly right. And all these numbers are doing is supporting your theory that the Rand is learning to ignore politics, for one, because I don't think politics has become less prevalent in the country.
No, it's just that we our leaders are less credible.
Yeah, and it doesn't really explain why the rand is so strong. It looks to me, so as I said, just good economic data coming out of China, strength in commodity prices, weaker dollar, and clearly we're still viewed as a mining economy, so higher commodity prices, stronger rand, because people are buying rands, kind of investing in South Africa.
Do you think we could get to 12 rand to the dollar?
Geez, at this momentum, if you're a chartist and what you look at is trends, you'll be at 12 in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Fundamentally, do I think we could get to 12? That's a hard ask.
I mean, if we did one or two things right instead of constantly doing things wrong at the political level, it could have amazing effects.
Absolutely.
Because this rand is doing well in spite of the politicians, not because of them.
That's exactly right. Do you want to talk about the unemployment rate which came out? That kind of leads into this.
Okay.
So yesterday, unemployment for the fourth quarter, we were expecting 27%. It came out at 26.5%. So it's as if there was a glimmer of hope. You know, the previous quarter was 27.1%. So the thing with the fourth quarter or unemployment data is that it's not seasonally adjusted. And as you can imagine, companies employ more people over the Christmas period. But if you compare it to the fourth quarter of 2015, we're actually still 2 percentage points higher. So even though unemployment came down slightly, we're still higher than a year ago. And the devil really for this is in the detail. Because the working age population is growing at 1.7% year on year. So we need a higher or bigger quantum.
We need to outperform that.
Exactly right. So in 2016, we only created net 51,000 new jobs, while the labor force expanded by 638,000 people, individuals.
Well, that's nothing then. That's a drop
in the
ocean.
So it's a short, exactly. So it's a huge shortfall. And this NDP is targeting 611,000 new jobs per year. But that's assuming a GDP growth rate of 5% per annum. I mean, you know where the GDP growth rate is. Last year, it was barely 0.3%, right? Yeah.
So in other words, we have more and more people, less and less jobs. And don't be fooled by this small drop in the unemployment rate.
Unfortunately, yes.
You know, the president's going to say it's a great victory, though.
Absolutely. Anyway.
All right. Let's look at some particular stocks.
Okay.
Adapt IT.
Ah, yes. Are you asking? Because we have a 3% weight in the aggressive portfolio.
Yes.
And the share's gone from 15.50 to 13.50.
Yes.
And I know you get nervous when you see shares go down.
Yeah.
But they put out their results on Monday, actually. I went to the results presentation yesterday. I quite like when the CFO stands up and says, we've had a tough 6 months, but then when you look at the numbers, revenue has grown by 44%. And normalized headline earnings per share was up 20%. It's a business and a management team I really like. Unfortunately, the problem came in when they showed organic growth, which fell from 9% to 4%. And let me explain that. Historically, AdaptIT have been an acquisitive company. And usually the organic growth just supports the acquisition strategy. But when you get a 4% growth number, then I think you just get nervous. But at the same time, why I like this business is because their trick, AdaptIT, is they're an annuity business. So 50% of their revenue is made up of annuity income. In other words, every year it's almost a guarantee. So unless they, excuse my language, screw it up, 50% of their revenue is almost locked in for future printing.
Right.
So the CEO, Sibu Shabalala, I think he's going to go down as one of South Africa's great CEOs. I really do. He was very proud of their recent acquisition, where he was telling us that this new company they bought, 90% of their revenue was made up of annuity businesses. Now, I can't imagine that there are many IT companies that have a 90% annuity, 90% of their revenue is annuity business. And in fact, I can't imagine many companies in the world are like that, and AdaptIT has swooped the one up that there is. So now, the question is, going forward, what do we think is going to happen? I think they need to work on this organic growth strategy, and one of the areas that they are highly exposed to is the education sector or the higher education sector. And Sabu was saying yesterday that they think that the spend in education last year was halted. Well, they know. I think they know their data. And he thinks it will be released this year, so they should get a boost in organic growth or earnings that is already on the table. So I'm going to hold on to the share. That's all. It is a bit expensive, but it's okay. I'm fine with it. I'm very comfortable with it.
And then our bugbear, the one who's been driving us crazy over the last year or two, is Stellar Capital. Had a great day yesterday.
Yeah, you spotted that.
Yeah.
So it was up 10% yesterday, but there's no news, Gareth. So it's beginning to trade a bit like a penny stock, low price, high volatility. Yeah. And I hate not having an explanation for share price movements, but I guess as long as the big movements are on the upside and we're holding the share, we should be happy with it, right? So I'm sorry, I don't have an explanation for Stellar Capital's 10% move yesterday, but we'll take it.
All right, very, very good. Yeah. Let's take a look at anything else on the stock markets yesterday that caught your eye.
Yes, Kumba. We've been talking about it for a couple of days. They released their results yesterday. The share was down 6%. The results were not bad, but I tell you what, the market did not like the fact that they have not reinstated their dividend policy. And I think we were all looking forward to that, and it really does help Anglo because Anglo is such a big shareholder in Kumba. So it came off 6% yesterday. I mean, there's a lot to be said, but I've already spoken about Kumba so much this week. In fact, it lost 2 weeks. So, yeah, it is what it is. The dividend policy is it's a pity, basically. And we hold it through our holding in Anglo American, basically, but we don't hold it directly.
Okay.
And then that's it. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Antia.
My pleasure.
Check in with you tomorrow.
Speak to you tomorrow. Very thanks.
Good. Anthea Gardner, a look at the markets on this Wednesday morning. Coming up in a little while, we'll talk to the news and some of the stories that are going on in the news. We've got Aria Kelman popping in to tell us about the Millennial Zeitgeist 2017. And then Lucky Duplessis coming in to join us from 94.7 Highveld Stereo. He's on, at 8.
This morning. This morning. Bless you.
Bless me.
You aren't getting sick, are you?
No, for some. I despise the thought.
Knock on wood.
No, I will not get sick.
Okay.
Damn that to hell and back. I will not.
I will not fall for this. All right. When we come back, we'll have some news with Mumps. That's on the way. CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
CliffCentral.com.